Certainly good to be back with you tonight. I appreciate Brother Lee's prayer. While I'm mentioning Brother Lee, he and Brother Paul Carter will be doing our meeting down at Willow Creek in Auburn next month, be the 11th, 12th, and 13th. And they'll divide the time up between them. They'll decide that, Saturday night, Sunday, and Sunday afternoon. So I want to invite y'all now to make a mental note of that and come and be with us during that time. Brother Lee's been down there with us for some time going to school. Of course, now he's finished and seemed like he just got there. I can't imagine him being gone so soon, and that's the way it is. Well, these young people come down there to school, and first thing you know, they're gone. And it's good to have them, but it's sad when they go. I remember when his mother was down there. It don't seem like many years ago, but that's the way your life goes by. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, Paul says this: walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, when he's talking about walk, he's talking about the way we live. When he uses the word walk, my manner of life, your manner of life, is my walk or your walk. Now, we like to see people grow, not just physically, but mentally. And we love to see these. I see young men here leading the singing. And that's so encouraging to me. I hear and see young men speaking. I see these young women that come and sing so well, support the work so much. All that's so encouraging to all of us, I believe. And we like to see them grow. We like to see them live their life with wisdom, serving God. And it saddens us when they don't live that way. We talked to you last night about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16 and 15 about those people that had addicted themselves to serving saints, ministering to saints. Now, you think about that and you say, well, did they just start all of a sudden doing that? They were addicted to it? I don't think so. I would think we would all agree they grew into it as they did things that they knew was right. As their resources grew, they used these resources to help other people. And that's what our life, don't you agree, should be about. As we grow, as we get closer to God, we sing all these beautiful songs. You ever notice what we say in some of these songs? And the things we say is that how much we depend on God, how much we believe in God. But friends, are we really growing in that direction? Now, during revival time, during meeting time, it's a time that we come together, we study together, we sing together, we pray together, and we try to grow together. And hopefully that's what it does to us. It makes us stronger. I've gone to meetings, and I just be charged up. We need to be recharged, don't we? We don't want to let our battery run down. But we got to study for ourselves. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to get your head in the Word, or you won't change your life. If you don't study, you won't change. And that's walking in wisdom. But notice what he says here, toward them that are without. Now, why would Paul say that? Well, we live in the world, and the world sees us, and they are the without he's talking about here. And so, as I live in the world, I should conduct myself in a way that reflects the church as it should be. when I'm around you, let's see how I want to say this. I'm going to put my best foot forward, okay? Mark and I go off fishing. Crouch and I go off playing golf. I'm going to probably act like I should act. But what if I go off with some of my worldly buddies fishing or playing golf? Do I act the same way? When they lose a fish, or they hit a bad shot and they let out a string of words that they shouldn't say, do I do the same thing? How do I conduct myself with the world? How do you conduct yourself around the world? Around your friends that are in the world? Do I really walk in wisdom as I'm around them? Do you? You ever go off with your friends on a hunting trip and come lunchtime, you get your sandwich out and your drinks, do you say a blessing? What do you do? Are you ashamed to? Would that embarrass you to say a blessing in front of your friends if you was with them out, going out to eat? Girls? What about that? What would you do? What do you do? You're with your friends. They don't go to church with you. But you've got that food in front of you, and you've always said a blessing at home. Dad always says it. Mom says it. But now you're with your friends. What do? You're around the world. Were you embarrassed to pause and drop your head and thank God? Have you ever noticed how much the Bible says about be ye thankful? Over and over again, it reminds us to be thankful. Be thankful. Give thanks. Pray without ceasing. You say, well, that's the way I live. And it don't matter who's there. I'm going to stop and thank God. What would your friends say if you told them, let's stop and let's pause for prayer? How do we conduct ourselves in the world? In 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 11, Paul says here, and that you study to be quiet. Think about being quiet. Do you have to do that to be quiet? I do. If I'm going to be quiet, I've got to think about it. And to do your own business? Mind your own business? Is that what he's saying? Paul, you tell me to mind my own business? That's what he said, didn't he? Keep your nose out of other people's affairs? Why? Because you're going to gossip. And you're going to say things you shouldn't say. And you wish you hadn't said. Better left unsaid. How many times have I done that? I wished I hadn't said it. I wished I hadn't told it. I think later on that was useless. No good it did anybody. I wasn't quiet. I didn't mind my own business. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. Again, he uses that. In writing this letter, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, because they see your manner of life. And have you ever thought about people you're impressing as you live that way? And all of a sudden they take notice of you stopping to pray. That you don't tell dirty jokes and you don't laugh at their dirty jokes. And you don't run the president down or the governor down. The Bible says pray for the king. He does. The Bible tells us pray for the king. We need to respect those that have ruling authority over us. Do we do that? that we kind of whine and moan and groan and complain? Is that the way you do around the world? Attitude's bad. And what do they think of the church? You reckon all those people are like that at church? You reckon all those people complain? You reckon all those people talk that way and act that way? See, friends, he's talking about our walk, our manner of life. Now, remember last night about those people had addicted themselves? Well, I believe we can do things like that with a lot of things as we change our life for the better. We can get addicted to doing what is right. Addicted to serving other people, of serving God, of going to church, of praying, of reading. And if we don't, we miss it. Whenever it's time to eat, we used to quit what we're doing, don't we? I was out today in the yard working. Sue comes outside and she said, "It's ready. Let's eat for lunch." Guess what I did? I expect I was there within a minute and a half. I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. I'm addicted to eating. That's the way we live. Don't we all do. We live that way. But what about other things, about our spiritual life? As we walk in our life, as we live our life, do we study to be quiet? Do we mind our own business? I do. We spend a lot of time on the telephone. Endless chatter. Words of no good. Words that shouldn't be said. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew? "I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." You know what else he said? Verse 37 of Matthew 12. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So we see why Paul says here that you study to be quiet, that you mind your own, that you do your own business. The world hears us, the world sees us. In Jude 18, "How they told you that there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust." That shall happen, he says. They shall walk, they shall live after their own ungodly lust. And friends, we believe we live in a world like that today of people walking and living after their own ungodly lust. People living together. People living in adultery. Doesn't matter. I love him. I'm not giving him up. I'm not giving her up. I care about him. And so you're going to lose your soul for that? Is that what you're going to do? Is that walking in wisdom? Do you think that's wise, what you're doing? How you're living? You believe that's a good decision, what you're making? What kind of example you're setting for the world to see you, and you live in that way? How can you say that's walking in wisdom? Brethren, do we ever stop and think, what are we doing with our lives? Which way, which direction is it going? Please. You're not going to pass this way again. This is your time to be ready for eternity. This is my time. So sad you'd read stories in the Bible about people just ruin their lives. I told Billy Prince one time, we was talking about something. He was talking about alcohol. And I said, "Billy, I believe that's caused more problems than anything in the world." Billy says, "No, I don't agree." He said, "I believe men chasing women and women chasing men." And I thought for a little bit, I said, "You know, I think you're right. He said, that's just happened so many times. So many times. And people don't learn from others' mistakes. Look at David's life. A man after God's own heart. Look what he did. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. She said, I'm expecting your child, David. Where's your husband? Well, he's at war. Let's get him home. Let's get him home. So he'll believe it's his child when it's born. Well, he wouldn't go home. And they got him back home. He wouldn't go home. He got him drunk. He still wouldn't go home. Well, his plan was falling apart. He's going to know that's not his child. So, well, he won't know it if he's dead. He won't know if he's dead. He sent a message with him. Yeah, with Bathsheba's husband. To the captain of the army. He says, put him in the forefront of battle and withdraw from him that he might be smitten and die. David says, I want him dead. Why has he got to die? Because I committed adultery with his wife. That's why he's got to die. Because of my sin, he's got to die. You ever heard that old saying, what a tangled web we weave when we first start to deceive? One lie leads to another. One sin leads to another. It's not going to stop till you stop it. He just faced, this has got to go. This has got to quit. This is not wisdom I'm walking in. I'm not living as I should. As he talks about here in Jude, ungodly lust. It's easy to get caught up in the moment. Also with the world. Walking wisdom told them without. We get with the world sometime, we get caught up in the moment. What's going on, what they're doing. Like going to a party. These kids that are allowed to go down to Panama City on spring break. Where they take off, I hate to say all their clothes. But just about all their clothes. And they get down there and they drink and get drunk. They're with the world. So mom and daddy didn't let you go, huh? And you was angry. And you pouted. But you know now it was for your best, don't you? You know now they loved you. They cared about you. And I know of a man that he doesn't go to church anymore. And you know why he doesn't go to church anymore? Guess why? He was made to go to church as a child. So he doesn't go anymore. His sister told me that. He said, Brother Bass, he won't come anymore. Because Mama and Papa made him come as a child. Why did they make him go? Why would they have made a child go? Why would you make a child go to church? Why would you make a child go to school? Why would you make a child mine? Because you love them. That's right. Because you love your children. Because you want to train them up in the right way. So they grow up to walk in wisdom. To go to church. To live right. To be ready to die. You know, friends, would you want to bring a child in the world to go to hell? Would you? No. When I heard that story, I thought about it. And I thought about this little scenario. Man in town one day, and it's cold, wintry day, sleeting. Hang out on a coat. And you see him. And you say, hey, fella, It's cold out here. You need a coat on. He said, I don't wear a coat. Well, you need one on. It's cold. It's sleeting. Here, I got one. You can have mine. I got an extra. He says, no, I don't wear a coat. So Mama made me wear a coat when I was little. I don't wear it. I said, then, when I get grown, I'm not going to wear a coat. He looks at you and says, go to church with me. You say, no, I don't go to church. Why don't you go to church? He says, Mama made me go to church when I was little, so I don't go to church. I don't go to church. I was made to go. Walk in wisdom. Is that wisdom? And you children here tonight, you always realize that your mom and daddy love you. And that's why they go to church. And that's why they take you to church. And that's why they read the Bible with you and pray with you and tell you that God gives and loves you and gives everything you got. It comes from God. It don't come from Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. No. In fact, it don't even come from your hand. Directly. Indirectly, maybe, because they work for you. But it really comes from God. He gives us all these things in our life to enjoy. It's all blessings from God. We walk in wisdom. And then he said in Colossians chapter 4, if you want to turn back there, he says, redeeming the time. That means use your time wisely. Trading our time for the cause of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 7, we read here about the children of Israel and what they did. And he says, neither be you idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Who does that sound like? Does that sound like Americans, maybe? Do you sit down to eat and drink? What have you got planned? What did you do on the weekend? What did you do on the weekend? Did you play? You glad to see the weekend? Places to go? People to see? Money to spend? And after eating and drinking, you rise up and you play. Redeeming the time, he says. Using your time wisely. Let me ask you a question. Can you look back on a day last week and say, that day I used that whole day wisely? Last Wednesday, last Thursday. I remember that day. I seemed to do everything right. I got up and I thanked God for the day, for the light of another day. I was thankful for my food. I was thankful. I was able to be up and about. I told y'all the story that time that Sue and I was out eating. And right next to this table, there was this young woman, 30-ish. This older woman, maybe 90-ish. And they were sitting right by us. And as they started to leave, this young woman said to the older woman, she says, have a good day. And you know what the older woman said back to her? She says, honey, every day that you can get out of bed is a good day. Sue looked at me. Hear that? I heard that. Every day that you can get out of bed is a good day. But what about that day last week? That good day last week? And all that day, you used your time wisely. You redeemed your time all that day. It may have been you did your chores like Mom and Dad wanted you to. You may have cut the grass. You may have cleaned the house. You may have did the washing or the ironing. You may have told Mom and Dad how much you appreciate them. You may have thanked Mom for the good food and Dad for working or whatever. But that was the day you were thankful. You were thankful for the things you had in life. And you felt good about that day, didn't you? And you felt good about the way you conducted your life, or the way you walked in wisdom on that day. And that's what Paul is talking about. That's why the Bible is such a beautiful book. It tells us how to live a beautiful life. It does. Redeeming the time. Use your time wisely. You ever say, someday I'm going to? I guess we all may have said that. Someday I'm going to do that job. Sometimes I get jobs and I don't want to do them. Some jobs are not so bad. Sue told me the day, said, that tree needs to be cut out in the backyard. Well, see, I used to be a tree man anyway. And I can go back to that. I can cut out a tree. And I got that done. Now, she told me to paint a room in the house. I might say, well, someday I will. But that's a different story. I'm not a painter. Now, Jack, he might like to paint. I don't know. But some jobs come easier. But someday, we say that sometimes, someday I'm going to do that. And you may think about that as you live your life. You say, someday I'm going to live for God more. I'm going to read my Bible more and study more and live closer to God. Be a better example with the world that I live in. Why don't we make it now that we do that very thing? And then he said, and going back to Colossians 4, let your speech be always with grace. Well, well. Going back to our tongue. Our tongue. Remember what James says about our tongue? What he calls our tongue in James chapter 3. He said, the tongue is a little member, verse 5 of James 3, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, to think about our walk, that it defileth the whole body. You ever seen that in people? It defiles their body. You don't want to be around them. And you know why you don't want to be around them? No, it's not because they got body odor. It's not because the hair needs combing. It's because of their tongue. And you feel uncomfortable. You're not enjoying it. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to be there. And that's exactly what James is talking about here. It defiles the whole body. With the murmuring, complaining, gossiping. What do you think? You ever play golf with somebody like that? You think, I'm out here to enjoy this. I'm not out here to hear that. You ever go hunting with somebody like that? Use the Lord's name. Just any old kind of way. And to me, that is one of the saddest sins there is. God gives you everything. Why would you ever take his name in vain? Why would you ever use it disrespectful in any form? Why would we do that? Let your speech be always with grace. Always think before you speak. In James 1 and 26, James says here, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Let me read it again to you. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. vain is useless. Do you want to get the judgment and find out your religion has been in vain? I don't think we do. Do you, brethren? What if the Lord told you on judgment day, says, Wilbur, if you'd have just kept your mouth shut, you'd have made it. You knew the Bible says study to be quiet, but you wouldn't do it. Oh, you take spells and do it sometime, but you really wouldn't do it. And your tongue caused many problems in people's lives. Many problems. Your religion was vain. Going back to James 3. It setteth on fire, in verse 6, setteth on fire the course of nature and set on fire of hell for every kind of birds, every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents. And the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now, do you think he means it's a poison that would you could take and take your life? No. He's talking about destroying you. It's poison. What the words you say are poison. See, friends, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people that are poison, there are people that are nourishing. They are. There are people that are toxic. You don't want to be around them. They're toxic. They are ginners, they are whiners, they're complainers. They swear, they curse. They're people that are nourishing. You remember the story in the old Bible? In the book of Proverbs, it talked about a virtuous woman. It's the last chapter of Proverbs, which is chapter 31. In verse 26, it's talking about a virtuous woman. And you know what it says about a virtuous woman? She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so when she opens her mouth, she has wisdom and she has kindness in her tongue. It doesn't say she opens her mouth with gossip and in her tongue is the law of criticism, does it? Doesn't say that. It's talking about a virtuous woman. How would you describe yourself? You know, the Bible is very personal, okay? You can't be sitting there thinking about this goes to somebody else. I know just who Brother Bass is talking about tonight. I'm glad she's here and hearing it. No, you can't think that. You got to listen for yourself, say, okay? You got to listen for yourself. When the Bible says something, let's listen to what it says to us. In her tongue is the law of kindness. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Let your speech be always with grace. And he says, in going back to Galatians 4, season with salt. What does that mean? How can my speech have salt in it? What about that? What do you think that means? What do you think it means? How can my, what does that mean my speech should have? Well, salt is what? It's a preserver. You know that. You heard of these people used to preserve meat with salt? I used to go to my uncle's house. He'd have his meat out there in the smokehouse, and he'd have it salted down. It wasn't in the freezer. It was salted down. It was preserved with salt. And so salt is preserving, so my speech should be what? Preserving. Uplifting. It shouldn't be toxic, should it? It shouldn't be destroying people, should it? I don't want it to destroy somebody. Do you want your speech to destroy? No, you don't want that. You want to lift them up, to bring them up, to make them stronger, to make them better, to encourage them, to bring them closer to God. See what a beautiful words he's saying here? Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And then he says that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Well, how do we answer every man? How do you answer your wife? How do you answer your wife? You got that edge in your voice? Do you? How do you answer your husband? How do you talk to your husband? You talk to him like you did when you were dating? You don't? Oh, you do? Okay. That's why y'all still talk to each other? See, friends, that's a lot of our life is spent in the home. How do you talk to your children? How do you talk to them? Oh, I know how you talk to your grandkids. I know that. But what about your children? How do you talk to them? Sometimes, when you're raising children, I know you got a job to go to. Things going on. It gets tough sometimes. But that's exactly what Paul is talking about here, about how we live our life, how we walk, our manner of life. See what he's saying? He tells us all these things to do. He said, you need to know how to answer every man. Not just on the Bible. Not just about your salvation. But you need to know how to answer people, how to talk to people, how to converse with people. He's already talked about our tongue. Let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Let your speech be preserving. Let your speech be uplifting. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we all did this all the time? In our homes, on the job, wherever we go. But you know the sad part of this is? We sometimes talk better to the world than we do to the family. Would you not agree? We talk better sometimes to outsiders than we do to our own people we love and in the family. Paul is reminding us here of how we should treat our friends, how we should treat our co-workers. How do we talk to them? In Psalms 19, beginning, we're going to read two verses here, verses 13 and 14. Psalms 19. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, which is deliberate sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then he says in verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. He's telling us here to think about what's in your mind, your meditation, what you think on, and let your words be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My words and my meditation be acceptable to God. And brethren, if they are, we're walking in the right direction. We are thankful. We use wisdom. We watch our words. We watch our company. We watch how we treat other people. And when we do that, what are we doing? We're treating God in the right way too. Because, friends, this Bible is about us doing God's will. And when we do that, we treat people right. That's right. Look at which way your life is going. Which way you're walking. Is this the right road I'm on? Well, if it's not, good news, you can change. You can change. If you're not a member of the church, we ask you tonight to come to be baptized. Believing on Jesus Christ, confessing that sweet name by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Repenting of your sins. Decide you're not going to live that way anymore. Repent of those sins. Tonight you can be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of sins. If you are a member of the church, you might say, well, you know, preacher, I have not used wisdom in my life. I'm not living like I should. I've gone astray. I've gone away. Why don't you come back tonight? Why not tonight you come back, confess your faults? Come back tonight, ask for forgiveness, ask for prayer, and God will forgive you. Why not come to the front as we stand and as we sing?
629. not let the word depart. And close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved, go tonight. Oh, why not tonight, not tonight, not tonight. Oh,
willingness